Welcome, everybody. My name is Kelly Noble Mirabella, and this is Business as Unusual. And on today's show, I have special guest Alan from Sentinent Future, and we are going to dive into his branding and uncover some fun new social media strategies for him to explore. Similar to when I had Tim from Tim Time on a few weeks ago, Alan and I sat down for a fun, informal chat to discuss ways we can improve his brand. I hope you find value in what we discussed and enjoy. So I don't know if you want to call this the Alan session or the Sentient Future session or whatever, but we'll work on the marketing afterwards. But basically it was inspired by something I did with Tim from Tim Time, where we just jumped on and, you know, just had a chat about his marketing, his vision. And he was really stuck with this idea of, what do I do with my channel? That was Tim's big thing. Like, what do I do with my personal brand? What kind of content works best? And so if you haven't listened to that episode yet, go check it out. It is in my episode list on my podcast, on Anchor, you know, wherever you find it. So the first thing I want to ask you, Alan, is what is, like, you know, Tim was really about content. For you, what's like the big thing for you that I can help you with?
Right. So I think the big thing that I really love your help with is prioritizing which platforms and which types of content I put out there. So I've got a variety of ideas and I do want to be on every major platform and largely have those handles booked. But I want to get your impressions of, you know, which ones to prioritize and establish before necessarily doing others, not wanting to do many things, you know, half-assed in
sure.
a way, but to really focus on doing a couple well and then expand that and repurpose content as possible.
Love it. I love the word repurposed content. That makes me happy. Awesome. So first question, I guess it's the second question. It's actually probably the third or fourth question at this point. But another main question I have for you before we really dive in is, what are you most comfortable doing? Like, what do you enjoy doing in terms of your branding, your marketing, in terms of content and platform? What are the things that, as you've already started, that you're like, this is kind of fun, I want to keep doing this, or I'm interested in this?
Right. So I've really taken to Instagram for a variety of reasons. So in this intentional living framework, a lot of it because I happen to be a quantitative person, I believe that certain areas of life really benefit from us measuring things, is that when you measure things, or I can, you know, take screenshots, or I can take, you know, real life photos, but then overlay a shadow or a sort of 20% opaque mm-hmm. version of my framework on top of those images, and then highlight the portion of the framework that is relevant to the picture that I've chosen, right? Just emphasize that a little bit more. That is, I think it's doing a couple of things. So for one, it's, you know, showing people how you can continue to look at life through a lens of intentional living, right? But then continuing to educate and show examples of how different parts show up in one's life. Again, this is really from my own perspective, but I've really enjoyed the perhaps what I believe might be the psychology behind, you know, tying frameworks to real life.
Mm-hmm.
So I've really enjoyed that. And I think what I'm also really interested in, but I just haven't given it a good enough shot yet, is the idea of, you know, whether it's Facebook Lives, which I did do with you a little while ago, and
yeah.
I really liked it. And I have sort of every intention to continue to do that, but I want you to help me perhaps choose a platform.
Okay.
And then, you know, so that's really, I guess, where my interests lie next, is to be able to document versus create kind of thing, show how this intentional living framework comes up in everyday life for me, and then, you know, hopefully demonstrate also through interviews and the like later how it comes up for other people so
sure.
that everyone finds something they can relate to.
And I know that you're doing the podcast. Is that kind of like the core of where your content is stemming from? So like for me, I do a podcast, I turn that into a blog, I'll go do a live broadcast about it. You know, I have all these little fingers. So usually there's one or two. For me, it's like my podcast and Facebook Live are split, but they're usually the same topic. One or two content stems or roots before you jet off and do like your Instagram, your Facebook, your blog and all these things. And your blog could be the core. So where is that main starting point for content for you
right,
right now?
So I'd say there are two but there's a third one that I know I need to establish.
Okay.
So the first one really is my YouTube video. So there's an anchor, or not an anchor, there is a cornerstone YouTube video that I have. It's the only one visible on my channel. And that establishes really the sentient worldview. It gives an overview, right? And shows the structure and why. And the anchor podcast goes into depth on each of those topics.
Great.
Right? Now, what I intend to do, because I have all the graphics and the like, is to make that a bit more static, a bit slower moving, so that, you know, on, say, my core website, and allow people to explore it, maybe hover over things, maybe link that to the thought leadership that I reference, right? Link that to potentially, you know, trending news articles or something that might tie into a specific area of that framework, but really provide a, not a dashboard per se, but provide somewhere where someone can explore.
Like a one-stop, like the hub. We like to call it the hub in my world. Usually it's the website, but yeah, a place where people can go to find your podcast, to find your videos, to find your images, to find everything you need.
It's a good question, right? Because I don't necessarily see my website as a hub.
Mm-hmm.
I see it more as a destination. Mm-hmm. You know, if I were to say there's a hub that would link to other things, it would actually be the mobile site.
Okay. Which hopefully will eventually be a website that's mobile. So I know that right now you have a mobile site and a website, and what we really want to see is the two come together so that your main website is your mobile site, right? So that no matter how people are searching and stuff. But yeah, I mean, the idea of a website, whether it's mobile or not, by the way, P.S., it should always be mobile friendly, is the idea is that it's a place where people can come and learn more about you. Now, some people see it as a very static thing. It's a place to get information and leave. And other people see it as like you said, a destination and destination hub. It's basically the same concept of a place where you can really explore and dive deeper and learn more about not only you, but also the things that you teach. And I know that when we did our pre kind of talk before we started recording today, we talked a little bit about this idea of authenticity versus putting your services up front and that sort of thing. So I want to start talking about that a little bit. And I think if you think of your website as a destination, it's a really wonderful place to really play on this idea of authenticity first or value first, right? So I like this idea where you're going with this, you know, a place to explore, dive deeper. And it's almost like in my world, I give everything away. Like you could go, you got to dig a little bit, but if you go to like, you know, my YouTube videos, or not really my YouTube as much as my Facebook, I'm more of a Facebook gal. But if you go into my Facebook page and explore my videos, if you go into my blog, if you listen to my podcast, you're pretty much going to get the same type of content if you go digging that you might in like one of my sessions. Obviously you don't have me personally, or one of my e-courses.
Right.
I might be more detailed in an e-course, but if you want to teach yourself, it's like, I'm going to go to YouTube and teach myself something if I want to teach myself. That's kind of, right? So you want to provide that for your niche, right? You want to be like the YouTube of your niche, or the place to go to bring value. And it doesn't necessarily have to be paid value, because what people will find is the more you value bring, the more authentic you're being, the more good things you provide to people to do it themselves eventually, especially if they're reading your stuff, because you're basically telling them, I mean, I could save you time, just call me, right? then I think that it does eventually lead to really good clients. And for anyone who doesn't believe that, I'm there in a short business playing field. And I'm talking long-term, great business that brings you tons of referrals. That's the way to go. But that being said, I do think it is important. I don't think you'll agree with me because we had this talk, but I do think it's important to list your services. And I don't think you have to do it in a really blatant way. I just think it's important to have something that if someone wants to dig a little deeper about you and what you provide, to make it obvious that you do, you know, offer these things. So here is a ton of resources. You give it all away. You have all these wonderful things. But I do think it's important that on your website, you have a place for your services. And you don't have to put prices or anything.
For sure. And I think you are right. Like, I'm not disagreeing with you on that. But I think we're on the same page. I just don't want to make that front and center, because that's not what it's about.
Right.
But certainly, I don't want to hide it from people who are looking for it.
Absolutely.
So yeah.
Absolutely. So, and I love what you were saying in our pre-talk as well, and you kind of hinted at it now. When I was talking, I kind of hinted at it, is that you're looking to basically bring value, right? You want to be helpful to people first and not be overly salesy or pitchy. And I hate that too. I'm not a sales gal myself. I mean, I could sell, like, I used to sell homes for a living. I've been told by many a person that I'm quite the saleswoman. But when I started my own business, I was like, nah, not for me. So I'm with you on that. I like value first, feels right. And I think if more people understood how to leverage value first, and what I mean by that is obviously content marketing, inbound marketing is a word that you used, which is spot on, then I think more people would find that their business would grow. So there you go.
Yeah, I think so too. And not everyone necessarily has the patience for it, because it is a work upfront investment in time at the very least type approach. But you know, to your point, I think it brings about more quality referrals and you know, and a client base ultimately. So you know,
absolutely,
the long term.
I can tell you, I've owned my business for almost 10 years. It'll be 10 years in December. And thank you. And it has, like, nowadays, almost all my business is referral, like almost all of it. I would say probably 90% of the clients I have today are referral. And the rest find me online because that's where I am. I'm just everywhere. But that's not because I'm out there like prospecting. I don't have to do that anymore. There is value, by the way, just PS for those of you listening, if you just started your business, there is still value in prospecting, especially in my business, social media marketing. You can't just like hope that you'll get a client tomorrow because you start a podcast. It doesn't work that way. But in the end, if you do have a strategy of value first, I'm going to put lots of content, we're going to go inbound marketing, you will find that over time, the business will start coming to you and you don't have to run forward so much. You just kind of lay back. So there's a silver lining to all that work that you're about to put in. So let's talk about that work, because I know that's what you're here for. You want me to tell you what to do, right? Or where to go, I think, is really what you want. Again, just to preference this, just like I did with Tim, these are my opinions, but you know, being that I've been in this industry quite some time, I would say that there are certain places that I think are better than some for certain people. And I say certain people because what works for you won't work necessarily for someone else. You've already mentioned that you enjoy Instagram. So anytime someone enjoys doing something, I say definitely do that it's not going to be the main priority, but it's one of your top priorities, right? Because it's easier to do. And that means you're going to be more authentic. You'll probably be more helpful. You'll be more active. You'll be more likely to test it and play with it and continue to grow. So definitely continue with the Instagram and then the podcasting. And we're going to talk in a minute about ways that you can repurpose your podcast so that you can spread to all these other places. I know that you want to be on all the majors and Facebook is the big papa in town. So definitely Facebook. When did you start your page? Because I know it's rather new.
Maybe 2 months ago, something like that.
Okay. Yeah. It's a baby, right? And you haven't done a lot with it. We did talk about you pushing. Now I think it's important to note you are mobile, pretty much 99% mobile work, right? You work from your phone.
Right. So my phone and my iPad. And I do have my PC and I can go to it. I'd prefer not to.
Makes sense. I have kids. My kid's the same age as your twins. So yeah. I have a 1.5-year-old and a 4-year-old. So as much as possible, I'm on this little device right here, my phone.
Yeah.
Okay. So we want to do Facebook. We want to do Instagram. Obviously keep up with the podcasting, because I believe your podcast is going to help you branch out into your blog, into what you could do on Facebook, on Instagram, and all these other social networks. I know you're on LinkedIn. I do see a lot of value in LinkedIn, especially for consultants. But I think that the biggest thing that anyone across the board can do, including you with LinkedIn, is to have a well-optimized LinkedIn profile. At the very least, that can do a lot for you without having to be super active on the platform. Right. So making sure that you go through and LinkedIn, the number one reason people use LinkedIn is for search, believe it or not, to find people, not necessarily topics. Right. And it makes sense because LinkedIn is kind of a B2B professional to professional networking site. And so when you are writing your bios and your descriptions of all the jobs that you've had that pertain to what you do today, and make sure you do put in all the jobs that you've had that pertain to what you do today, then make sure you're putting in all your descriptions, use keywords. Think about if someone were searching for someone like you, what would they be typing in? Use those keyword phrases.
Right. Makes sense.
It's very old school SEO over there in that respect, or at least it was back when I used it a lot. So I don't know if you necessarily have to do a lot over there. Now, as we start talking about utilizing blogging, and I know that we talked a little bit about let's put the same content on WordPress and on our website and maybe Medium, you know, like it's not necessarily like keeping it in one place. Then you might even look at publishing that information on LinkedIn as well, because they have a pretty powerful blog platform. And I have found both with myself and my clients that actually gets better interaction and reach and branding power than anything else that I've done on LinkedIn, apart from the full optimization of their account.
Right. Great. Okay. That's good to know.
So LinkedIn might not be top priority, but I think the priority with LinkedIn is just making sure you have a strong profile and you know all your links work and everything.
So my LinkedIn profile is complete. Like I put in just about everything there.
So. Perfect. Perfect. And I haven't looked at your LinkedIn profile yet because we had a link problem when I went to there. But for anyone who's listening, and you might already know this, Alan, but if you are on LinkedIn, you can include links to slide shares. You can embed basically a slide share, a YouTube video. I'm sure you already have your Cornerstone YouTube video on there. But if not, that would be something I would do.
Yep.
And then you can also do PDFs, news articles, that sort of thing. And they're kind of like part of this interactive resume, if you will. So that would be something I would do. But I don't know if I would put a ton of emphasis outside of that on LinkedIn for you, at least not until you really kind of master the other sites.
Yep, makes sense.
Cool. And then obviously connect with the people you want to connect with over there. That makes sense for your business. So let's dive in to what you're doing now and how we can grow that. So we have Instagram. I'm actually going to go to your Instagram profile really quick and take a look because I just had it open. So many links, so many things. There it is. All right. So actually, you know what? Since we are recording this on video, just for our own viewing pleasure, we will share my screen and then you can see what I'm seeing. Can you see it? Yes. Okay. So there we are. Here's your Instagram. When did you start your Instagram account?
Probably 6 months ago.
Cool. Okay. So I loved, by the way, this video that you did. What a great thing to break down. If anyone who's watching the video, this is... You talk about the difference between figuring out if it's worth doing it yourself or paying someone to do it and how you calculate the cost and everything. I love that because I do that myself. So you have all your images here. That's great. I'm just going to randomly click into one of these and we're going to look at your content. So one of my recommendations for anyone who's using Instagram is to clean the content. So you have a lot of hashtags, which is awesome because hashtags are amazing on LinkedIn. I recommend that people utilize all the hashtags that you are allotted, which is 30, but at the very minimum between 11 and 15, which is kind of like the threshold. The reason I give that number is statistics show that once you hit 11 to 15, then your engagement goes up and your reach goes up. So that's why I recommend that as a minimum. But what I would actually do is it's kind of hard to read something like this where you have, you know, like three words and then a hashtag and you know what I mean? Like there's a lot of hashtags, which is actually hard to read in sentence form. And I'm only going to tell you what I know from my own personal experience, but when I do in my own content, my clients' content, kind of more cleaned up content with the hashtags underneath, either in the comments or with the dots. I don't know if you've seen the dots, it's like 1, 2, 3, 4 down, right? And then the hashtags. It doesn't take away from the content. And it's okay to have some hashtags in the content, like the word love, hashtag love, I think is fine. But you don't want to do so much that it starts to take away from the content, becomes hard to read. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So I'd seen some other people, you start to use the comment section for the large body of hashtags. And so I'll certainly do that. And yeah, I mean, I need the content to be readable, right? And
yeah.
In some circumstances, because I'm auto-posting to Twitter, let's say.
Facebook.
Or Facebook, right? I've got a couple of handles of other people that I want to reference, maybe on Twitter. And I'll have that perhaps in the main body so that
it's that makes sense.
140 characters or perhaps 280 soon. And and then go from there. So I appreciate that feedback, something I had considered, but it's sort of reassuring or re-emphasizing that decision. So thank you.
Awesome. The other thing I might consider, if it makes sense, is to give more context. I actually really like thinking of Instagram as a mini blog, if you will. Like if you go and look, I have on my account and a couple of my clients' accounts, I have some that are really short because it makes sense for them to just be short, you know, little like snippets. But then sometimes I'll put in a lot more in there, which doesn't always translate well, as you said, to Instagram posting, right? But you think about that when you're forming it. But it gives more context. And what I found that when I do stuff like that, it brings in more comments. And real comments, not bot comments, because people are actually reading it. Now, you don't want it to be pages long, although it may work for you. It actually works for me when I do like an actual blog on my, believe it or not, I've done it and it actually worked really well.
You're advocating for something like 4 or 5 sentences worth of an idea in the content of an Instagram post?
Let me show you an example.
Okay.
I haven't done it in a while, but I do series. And actually, if you're looking at my screen, you'll see this is actually all part of a Facebook Live series I did. It's been a while since I've done a blog series on here. But what I did is I did a whole blog series for like a month. I would take photos that inspired me and quotes, and you don't have to do it like this. It's just how I did it. And I would actually write kind of like a personal blog on it, but it had to do with entrepreneurship and business and that sort of thing. So, okay. So here we go. We're getting close. So I had these kind of images. So this one says, you know, get out of there, get out there, just breathe, give thanks, gratitude, listen up, these sort of things, right? And you'll see here quite a bit of content. So it's like 2 paragraphs of this idea of perspective. You know, you can't see the forest through the trees. And then here's that, what I was talking about with the hashtags. And these actually did pretty well. And not only did they do fairly well, but I was able to repurpose this content really easily. I could expand on these ideas and turn them into podcasts, which I have done. I can expand on these ideas and put them on my actual blog, which I have done. So it also inspired me to create better and more in-depth value-based content. And then the other thing that I noticed is I did it as kind of a series. As you can see, it was very structured at this point. For those of you who can't see, if you go to my Instagram and you scroll way down, I used to do that whole, you know, design structure. But I had a very set, like every day I posted something. And some of these are just quotes, very short. But every other day or so, I would do these blogs. And I did this for about a month. And that I went from like maybe 500 followers to probably about 1500 followers in a month and a half, just from doing that. Now it's really time intensive. So, I have 1200 followers. So, it's pretty time intensive. So I stopped doing it, but I basically grew, I want to say I grew like 600 to 800 in a matter of a month and a half. So I doubled. And every time I do a series that helps, but that seems to help. So I don't know if it was the series or just a lot of content, but you might test it out. And I don't think you necessarily have to do like 2 paragraphs worth, but just a little bit more context about what your images are all about. Okay, so that's just Instagram. And then I think that translates really nicely into that idea of recreating your content across the board. Let's jump into Facebook. Facebook's going to be a good place for you. You could do a lot of repurposing of content over there. And you talked about YouTube as well. So what you can do is, you got your podcast, you have your topics already. So go ahead and just jump on Facebook Live on your Facebook business page, because that's where the magic's going to happen. and talk about the same topics. You don't have to read anything. You don't even have to go super in depth, just like kind of give the synopsis, if you will, the 5 minute, you know, like, this is what we talked about. This is why it's important. If you want to learn more, not necessarily a commercial, because I don't think those work very well for a Facebook Live, but just kind of the first bullet point, if you will. If you have five bullet points, just do the first bullet point. Mm-hmm. And then say something like, if you want to learn more about this, I just talked about it on my podcast, or it's on my blog, or you could do the whole thing. So it really depends on your personal strategy. Do you want to create content that is the full content, but in a different platform? Or are you looking for ways to push more people to your website, blog, or to your podcast to become listeners? So you have to think about that before you kind of figure out how you want to utilize Facebook Live.
Right, for sure. So I'll answer your question, then I've got a follow-up question to you that is sort of at the root of this, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
So I would like for the content that I put on each platform to be in and of itself valuable. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily want to try to reroute people from a platform that they are on and likely comfortable with to one that they may not be on or may not be comfortable with, or, you know, certainly not their highest priority one. So I hesitate to link to more feature-rich content.
Got it.
Unless the platform that I happen to be on would not
allow for more in-depth.
Naturally allow for it, right?
Makes sense.
For example, a more in-depth look visually at the at the framework that I've created, for example, I may not do that entirely on a Facebook post because I can't.
Sure.
Right, by talking about certain elements of it and then linking back to the whole thing, I say on my website, there's an example where I might do that.
Perfect.
Now, the other question that I have, or I guess the follow-up question, is there seem to be several live or video options. There seems to be Facebook Live. There seems to be Instagram video. And forgive me because I'm still learning all of these.
Yeah, in the stories, there's a live. That's correct.
Right, so there's Instagram, stories. There's also Instagram Live, right? Then there's also the possibility of just recording something, putting up on YouTube.
Yeah.
And
there's YouTube Live.
Then there's YouTube Live. And then there are, you know, a few others. So one of the interesting workflows that I'd heard of lately, and I like it because it's efficient, mm-hmm. but I'm happy to do something else if that's more effective. But the efficient workflow that I had in mind is doing Instagram Live, and then that video automatically gets saved to my camera roll on iOS, right? That I can quickly post to YouTube, but keep it as a hidden video, one that people can only see if they have the URL, right? By posting that to YouTube and then going to Anchor. Now, Anchor, I would have to do this on the desktop site, but I'm pretty sure it's a feature they'll have in the mobile device, the mobile app soon, is being able to
import the sound
to an external source, namely this mm-hmm. YouTube video, and that automatically plays the audio from that Facebook or from that Instagram Live.
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
You know, so depending on what platform you're on, like, you still get this, you still get this. And so the multi-purpose of the content without me having to do a ton of work.
Now, sure.
I like the idea of Facebook Live. I guess, what are your thoughts on which video platform I should preferentially use for, you know, documenting or for quick sure. clips?
I think for quick clips, go Instagram, right?
Okay.
If it's longer form, go Facebook Live. Because the Instagram Live is only 24 hours, just like stories. It actually lives in stories.
Okay.
So if you're thinking like your video within your feed on Instagram, that's actually not live. But the live video that you see in your app is in stories. And you can download it, but it only lives for 24 hours. So then it's gone. So I find that stuff is really good for a couple of different types of content. It's great for that quick, you know, either just a regular story or a live, you know, kind of thing. It's good if you're going to also put it somewhere else if you want it to live on. And what I mean by that is like, if you're going to redo the whole thing, not download and upload, we're talking about native live right now, which is a lot of work. So I don't know if I would recommend that to a lot of people. Or it's good for premium content. So if you want to give away, not necessarily premium content, but that you're charging for, but you kind of promote it as it's only up for 24 hours, kind of like a 24-hour sale kind of idea. Not that you're selling, but this content is only, it's got a time constraint, right?
Yeah.
So you would promote it as that. So that's all very good for that platform. If you want to get on and do a little bit longer form kind of thing, like maybe you did a topic, like for instance, I did a topic yesterday on my podcast about Instagram tools. Well, then I also got on Facebook Live and I did the topic all over again, but in the format of me just sitting there chatting. And the reason I didn't strip that down, which I usually would take, okay, so I would do it on live, download it, put it on YouTube, and then if I were to take the next step, it would be then, like you said, bring it into the Anchor Clipper. So that would be three steps, right? The problem is that, not for you, the problem for me personally, that I don't take that last step and I'd rather just recreate the same topic but on the platform, is because I don't think that my Facebook Lives transition or translate well in podcast form as well as I could make them. And that's just my strategy, but I say my strategy because I want you to, and everyone listening, there's no right or wrong answer here. It's about what do you want the end product to be on each platform, right? So if you feel like it works that way, and most likely you're not, Facebook Live tends to be a little bit more interactive. You're more likely to have someone jump on and comment and you get back to them than say maybe an Instagram Live, depending on your audience. It could be the opposite. And if that's the case, then it shouldn't be a big deal. You're not stopping and going, oh yeah, Joanne said this, you know, and she's not actually talking. So people who are listening in the podcast are like, she said what? I don't see what, you know what I mean? So
that makes sense. I think you're right. Any content that I do live that requires either the visual or mm-hmm. that requires the visual for context, I shouldn't place on Anchor because it's going to lack some of that context. Whereas if I'm, you know, sitting down for a quick thought and I'm verbally explaining everything, but you happen to see me by a video, then that content.
Then that works.
Yeah. So it may be a case by case basis.
Yeah.
And, obviously that's relatively short form. And then Facebook Lives, you're thinking more like the 5 to 10 minute.
Five or longer. Absolutely. Okay. Yep. Yeah. So, and especially if you want stuff to live on as a resource, right? Because I don't know about anyone else, but I didn't put my energy into YouTube. I'm not the YouTube gal. I put my energy into Facebook. But if someone were to ask me a question, like, Kelly, how do I download my Facebook Live video after I'm done from, you know, my phone or whatever? I have a video for that. It's already done. I'm like, oh, right here, it's two, you know? So I actually use my content as a content library. And that's really an important point, because anyone who does any kind of either YouTube or Facebook Live video that lives on, or even your podcast, your blogs, anything that lives on, content that is evergreen, that is still relevant day in, day out, you're creating a content library so that it's easy for you to not only, if someone asks you a question, you can explain it to them and say, oh, this is why this is important. But by the way, I've got these great resources. I'm going to just email them to you. And so you're building more trust. You're showing your expertise. And it all goes back down to, at the very end of the day, after they've built that trust and they like everything you say, they like your personality, they like the way you present your information, you've given them some free content, they're like, I want to work with you, or I want to refer someone else who may want to work with you, right?
Right, that makes sense. So the first 35 episodes on my Anchor station, for example, are an audio version of the beginning of my library, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Sort of see where it goes from there.
So you can, and you even said at the beginning, you have on your website or whatever, a destination. So you'll have a place where people can dig in deeper, and everyone takes in content differently. Some people prefer to just listen. I like to binge listen. When I'm driving, I'll listen to like all of one person's podcast. Like I'm like Gary V'd out by the time I get down to San Diego when I'm driving down every weekend. Or I listen to all of Tim Time's podcast on my drive to downtown or something. And then I call him like 5 times, which is why everyone thinks I stalk him. But so, you know, that's me. I like listening to content. other people prefer to read. Lots of people prefer to view. And you even nailed it on the head. And a lot of it depends on the context of the video. Obviously, I'm going to, or of the content. So obviously, I'm going to do a video if it's something I need to show you how to do, right? Okay. So live video, definitely something to consider. And I don't think it necessarily matters so much the platform for you because you're so new. I think you can experiment with each one, but really think about the end piece of content per platform. What do you want that end piece? How do you want the quality to be? How will it be received? It just depends on you and your personal preference. Make sense?
Yeah. And I'm obviously very driven towards, repurposing content because of how efficient it is.
Yes.
But I'm not blind to the fact, or I don't want to do so at to the detriment of the quality or the perceived value of what's shared on a platform.
Like absolutely.
Then it shouldn't be there. It might actually do more harm than good.
Yeah, and sometimes the efficiency of reusing content isn't necessarily stripping the sound or creating a transcript. Sometimes it's just simply taking that content idea and then recreating it in the proper form that you're utilizing. Does that make sense?
It does. And, I quite like that. It's something I might do a little bit more. Also, because maybe the first time I'm sharing it, I learn something about how I want to describe that content.
And you might want to do it something different.
I actually end up doing it better, not more tailored to that platform, right?
Yeah. So like for me, Facebook Live is a lot more laid back. It's more of like my practice run. I mean, I still bring all that I have at that time. But like you said, once I do it, I'm like, oh, I got to remember to mention this when I re-record for my podcast, so you kind of tweak things a little bit different. And it works for my audience. Now, for some people, Facebook Live might need to be more polished. So it really depends on your strategy, your audience, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Cool. When it does come to Facebook, I would say, like I said, Facebook Lives, native video, always good things. Keep bringing this stuff over from Instagram. It's working. We've already talked offline about you just cleaning up the descriptions and stuff. And if you want to save time, just do the descriptions that way in Instagram. And then everything moves over nice. And I know you like a nice streamline situation. Talking about your podcast, some of the things that you can do to repurpose your podcast and get the word out about your podcast is you can do a transcript. So I mentioned to you that I use a tool called rev.com, and other listeners might have other tools that they certainly can call in and recommend. I just started using Rev. It was recommended to me by one of the Facebook groups I'm in, full of like social media pros. And I love it. The quality was amazing. I personally only use transcription for stuff like this, which is, interviews, because I don't have notes. They're very off the, fly and stuff. When I do my regular podcast, it's almost entirely scripted. Right. I just take that, clean it up, and turn it into a blog. It's actually very easy. But depending on how you do it, if you do want to do a transcription or if you want to do a blog, some suggestions would be either do the transcription. There's plenty of services, or you could do it yourself. But that's very time consuming, Alan. I don't know if you're going to be down for that. But then there's also some automation. Obviously, Anchor has some transcription. You could turn it into a video, which leads me to the next point, video. So Anchor has a video option for like the little clips, right? Yep. But there's also tools like Lumen 5, which after you turn it into a transcript or a blog, you can import that into this tool Lumen 5 and turn it into kind of a really nice looking text-based video that works really great on Facebook. But I've also seen it work fairly well on YouTube. So just another way of repurposing, reusing that you can look at. And then you can use that video also. They have a new form that if you get it under a minute, you can also post it to your Instagram. Okay. So that's pretty cool. And then basically you could take a sound thing or you could start with a video depending on where you start. Your start point is you could do the video, turn it into the podcast, transcribe it, turn it into a blog, or you could turn it back around and turn it into a video. I have been known to start with a video, turn it into a podcast, turn it into a blog, and then I'm looking because there's so many more. And then return it into a different type of video. So I went from like a live me talking video to a text-based video. So you see, you could take one content piece and do a lot with it.
Yeah, Yeah, fourth, you know, link on that chain might be a single Instagram post to, you know, to highlight the core idea or something.
Exactly. Like if you do a top five post, you could have five posts for Instagram based off that, right? Like a series you could do all week.
Yeah, for sure. And that way I don't need to cross link as much because again, I don't want to try and entice people away from the platforms they're already on, but that to some degree people start to have faith or an expectation that they aren't missing out on any of the content because to some degree it's present on all platforms.
Right, exactly. And if you're comfortable with it and if it works with the platform, it doesn't always work with Instagram because you can't link to things. One thing that I've done not only with myself but also my clients is we'll do a Facebook post, you know, with like to the blog or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then we'll also in there say, if you would rather read, or we put it in the blog, if you would rather listen than read, here's a link to the podcast. If you want to follow us on Instagram, we're talking about this topic all week. Here's, you know, so we kind of give people an option. It's totally up to you, but that is another way of saying we respect that you would probably prefer this platform, but maybe you do prefer. So here's another option for you.
Makes a ton of sense.
Cool. Okay. So I think we've covered like a lot of stuff today and I don't want to go too crazy because this is a podcast and people are like, wow, this is going to be an hour long. But I do want to ask you, Alan, is there anything else before we close today that you definitely want me to kind of talk to you about?
Nothing that comes top of mind. And so just being respectful of other people's time. I just, yeah, really want to thank you for taking the time to give me some, you know, specific advice that it's awesome. And you know, I don't know to what degree you are willing and able to do this with other people, but, you know, it's been immensely helpful. It was helpful listening to the version you had with Tim Time. I hope that others have found some, you know, useful pointers as well that do apply to me, but may also apply to them by listening to this. And so, yeah, just thank you very much. I hope that, you know, this format, you know, does well for you as well.
Well, I have a lot of fun doing it. So as long as people are okay with the fact that because it's like free consulting, I don't do a ton of background like research. I just kind of dive in. And it's almost like a brainstorm session, which is something I really enjoy doing because it allows you to come up basically with your own path, which I think is really important because something I've talked about on my podcast before and in my blog and in my videos is that it's important that to stand out, you do things your way. You do it a little different. So I can give you some ideas, but you really, the best advice I could give anyone is to test for yourself. Find what you enjoy, find what works for you. And just because it doesn't work the first time doesn't mean you shouldn't keep trying. So give things time, you know, have some patience, but you know, testing and forging your own path is probably one of the best things. Just make sure that at the end of the day, you're thinking about what is my end goal. Always be thinking about that. Otherwise you're just kind of out there in the wind.
As always, I want to thank you so much for listening today. You can reach me on Facebook at facebook.com/stellar247 and on Twitter at stellar247. If you're listening via Anchor, go ahead and call in and comment with any questions or comments that you want to add to the discussion. And if you're listening via my podcast, you can of course reach out to me on all the places I mentioned before, or you can go to my website at www.stellar247.com and reach out to me there. Also, if you're listening to my podcast and you enjoy the content that I'm providing, nothing would bring me more joy or make my day better or brighter than your kind words. So consider giving that 5-star review. Thanks so much for listening and have a stellar day.